now plugged in, hooked on songs, with Bruce and Tommy Kong.
We are live.
Sweet. What's up, guys? Welcome to another fantastic episode of Hooked on Sonics. I am one of your two hosts, Bruce over here, and over there, donning a fantastically cool Conan hat, Tone Capone. Two great album reviews for you guys today. We're going to be reviewing Bullren and Der Club of Gore, Patchouli Blue. That's some German jazz there for you. And then out of California, Thinky Flesh with My New Me, fronted by Slim Jelly. We've got some music news, some big music news. And before we get into all of that stuff, Tony, how are you? And what are you drinking?
Good evening. I'm good. I'm good. I am having a wonderful evening. I am tired like no get out because I drove 6 hours and got home at 3 a.m. last night just to get up and finally settled into bed about 4 a.m. to be woke up at 8 a.m. because the wife's alarm clock goes off and once you're up, you know, you're up. So yep. I'm pretty tired today, but as far as that, I'm good. Seen the great Conan show at the West Side Bowl, saw a good handful of bands. I think we missed one of them, but I'll get to talking about that here in a bit. Mm-hmm. But tonight's drink is brought to you by my go-to lemonade cup that I use in the house. If you've ever seen me with this, there's usually some kind of libation or a straight Arnold Palmer in this thing. I kept it from one of the fairs, and it's just a good cup to have around when I'm sipping things down. But tonight's drink is actually a mixed drink of Von Payne Black.
What is that?
Current infused whiskey. And if you've seen this thing, it's got a gargoyle topper. I do think that there's they've got a great thing going on there, you know, as far as the gargoyle thing and the imagery look. Looking at the bottle and stuff, I kind of wish, you know, they kind of took a little more care and presentation with the bottle, making sure, you know, stickers on the bottle look better. And what else? It is a current, it's a blended whiskey, but it's current infused. So it's very sweet. And I will say this, if you mix it with any lemonade, it makes a great Arnold Palmer because current is black currant tea. You know what I mean? So it does mix very well. I like it like this. I don't like to drink it straight. It's too sweet for me. So if I were going to give it a review of straight and mixing it, I'd give it like a 2. On straight, it's just too sweet for me. I would never drink that straight. As far as mixing it, the way I like to mix whiskey and bourbon with lemonade, it's probably one of the best mixers as far as making like an Arnold Palmer style whiskey lemonade type deal.
Nice.
Killer. And I would give it a solid 4.5 on that.
Nice. Very cool. Well, lemons must be in the air. And remember, folks, when life gives you lemons, drink the shit. So I've got from Shiner out of Texas, they introduced their lemonade shandy, typically like a summer shandy. And I love pretty much all of Shiner's products. And this is no slouch at all. One second.
Hey, now, quick, man, before we continue, can I ask you, how are you connected right now?
Like I always am.
Through your phone? Hotspot?
Nope.
Yeah.
Through the Wi-Fi.
You're getting some, you're getting a little laggy here and there, some lag spikes in there. Just thought I'd give you the heads up on that.
Thanks. But yeah, Shiner's Lemonade Shandy, it's fantastic. I usually go with the Leinenkugel's. Summer Shandy when I'm in the mood for him. But Shiner is taking its place. Really enjoy the shit out of this. I'll give it a 5.
Nice. Solid review. Solid
Yeah,
review.
dude.
Couple good
Yeah.
brews. Good tastings and whatnot. I like it. I like it.
Yeah.
Well, I saw something today there, Slick. And it
What'd you
made me
see?
think of you right away. Kiss has sold their whole catalog.
Yeah.
For $300 million.
Yep.
How do you feel about them doing this?
I
and
am
do, and do you well hold on
yeah
I want to get the good question in here. How do you feel about them doing this, and at 300 million do you think they sold themselves short?
You know, let me address the second part first. When I first read the news this morning, I thought it was a little, it was about $100 million short. I thought it'd be at least 400 million, but our, you know, Zeus over there at Shout Out Loudcast, he had posted some comparable numbers to other artists who have sold their catalogs. Springsteen got 500 million. Bob Dylan got 300 million. Motley Crue got 150 million. And some other ones. So Kiss was right in there. So I think 300 million is a good number. It's a fair number as compared to what other people get. And no one's going to beat fucking Springsteen, which I don't get, but it's just me.
Did the Beatles catalog sell?
Well, no.
I heard, hold on. Last I heard in regards to that, and this may be rumor, and I could be blowing smoke out right out my ass.
Mm-hmm.
I was under the impression that the Michael Jackson estate had a lot of the Beatles stuff.
Correct. So when those songs came up for auction, essentially in the 80s, this is when McCartney and Michael Jackson were really good friends. They had just come out with that Ebony and Ivory song and all that. Well, anyway, Michael told Paul McCartney, I'm going to buy your songs. And Paul thought he was just joking. And Michael bought all those songs from under Paul McCartney. And Paul really never forgave him for it. So, having said all that, somehow through the process, you know, after years after Michael died, Paul was able to buy the songs back. Yep. Now, I don't know at this point, I don't know if Apple has any vested interest in it or not. It seems like they have something to do with it, but Paul McCartney has majority ownership at least in it. So I don't know.
Interesting.
But yeah. But then to address the first part, I'm cautiously optimistic about it. So it's a Swedish company formed by one of the founding members of ABBA, who's delved in this stuff before. They're the ones that bought it. I'm optimistic that they will release some really cool unreleased stuff. Kiss has really dropped the ball lately on putting out really good quality, interesting stuff. So we'll see. But this company is also at least partially responsible for these new Kiss avatars that look like shit and nobody wants. So there's okay. That.
Well, there you have it from the Kiss front man himself.
Yeah, from the Kiss tart himself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic and we'll just wait and see.
I mean, if I was a fan, right, and I knew somebody had bought the catalog, what I would look forward to is actual re-releases, remasters, or, you know, opportunities to own the collection digitally. Obviously, I would want some of that cooler content that you're looking for, maybe some scratch tracks from the studio and stuff like that. You know, I get that. But when you think about the sheer vastness of Kiss's studio catalog. Mm-hmm. I know when I stopped collecting, I believe there was 24 albums.
Okay.
Where did they finish?
I don't remember.
Come on, man. You're the authority on this. I need to know the number of Kiss studio albums that exist.
Let's see. Studio albums or just... Yeah. Okay.
We're talking from Kiss,
Hot to in Hell, Monster.
Hot in the Shade, fucking...
Yeah. Okay, hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 6.
And why he counts that up, folks... Just keep in mind to hit that like, comment, and subscribe button down below. We are on all your favorite podcast streaming channels. I know he's having a hard time trying to get this counted up while I'm talking, but I don't.
Studio albums, 28. Including
How many albums were after Hot in the Shade?
After Hot in the Shade, studio or just complete?
I'm pretty sure Hot in the Shade was the 24th.
Okay, so then there's Revenge. We're not counting Alive 3. So Revenge, Carnival of Souls, Psycho Circus, Sonic Boom, and Monster.
So I would say safely and conservatively, Kiss has probably 35 attainable albums in their entirety, including obscure albums. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Live albums.
You got to remember the four solo albums as well.
Mm-hmm.
Live albums. So conservatively, 35, I would say 35. And I could be off by a digit or two. Or
yeah, I know I'm 40. Off by some, but yeah.
So when you think about that, what are you expecting? I mean, you're talking 35 albums worth of material that a company has to produce and make new shit and add new shit and find, you know, just because they sold them the whole catalog, does that mean that they got all the shit from the vault too?
Yes, everything.
Because Gene has always talked about a vault.
Yeah, so he's released the vault. So he released a huge, massive thing a few years ago. He just released a CD version of that vault, a very condensed version. It had like 300 demos in that. A lot of shit on it, because, you know, Gene would literally just throw anything together. Oh, okay, that's a song. But they're cool things to have. Dude, there's tons of stuff. There's tons of pro shot footage. I would love to see a proper release of Wicked Lester, the band that Gene and Paul were in before Kiss. I would love to see a re-release of that, because it was originally released on Epic Records.
Name one of the guitar players from Wicked Lester.
JJ French.
Thank you, sir. That's who I was looking for.
Steve Cornell, who's also a pedophile, and he's in prison.
I think Blackie worked with them at one point in time.
I don't know.
It's listed in one of those albums that has some big scene inside of it that says kind of Kiss history and shit and where it started and where it went. And I saw Blackie Lawless was in the mix there somewhere, and I found that to be pretty peculiar. I could be wrong. Could be me. Might be this drink. Who knows?
I mean, Blackie just stole their show, but it's cool. I'm kidding. That was King Diamond. Anyway, so
no.
What have you been listening to this week?
Fuck you. No, King Diamond did not steal fucking Kiss's shtick.
Okay, he just stole the makeup and got sued and lost.
You know what? Here's the thing.
There was too many similarities.
There was a lot of similarities, but at the end of the day, is he the only other person in the world that can wear fucking black and white fucking face paint, dude? Come on now.
In Gene's style?
I don't know, dude. I don't know that it was exactly Gene's style even back then.
Wasn't exactly.
So
it's pretty darn close.
It doesn't matter. Gene's a fucking a chode anyways. He'd sue you if you thought you fucking had the KISS logo on you without actually purchasing it.
Yeah, I'm waiting to get sued for this poster back here.
I'm sure.
All right. So what have you been listening to, my friend?
A lot of Conan.
A lot of Conan.
And I heard a wonderful couple bands last night. I want to say they were more along the lines of like a black metal band, Morbican. They were pretty fucking cool. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see I've got a picture with their singer there. Really nice guy. Put on a hell of a set. Saw a band. I want to say that they were Psychic Trash, but I could be wrong. They might have been Axiom or something like that. There were just two dudes, a drummer and a guitar player, and they made and brought the noise. They were groovy. They were fun. It was awesome. Oh. And then, of course, I was there to see Conan, and I'll get to that here in a second. But, man, the band that shocked the fucking holy shit out of me that I really, really liked was a band called Early Moods. And those dudes were so freaking cool. And their singer has this massive head of hair. Only way I can describe it is probably an afro. And man, it is absolutely awesome. And they get to rock it on stage, man. And it just, they sounded so good. They were really, really good. And I think their guitar player, one of the guitar players, was playing a Stratocaster in like a doom style band. So I thought, oh my gosh, these dudes are just freaking off. Like they're just everywhere I look, it's off the chain. Like it was cool, dude. They were really, really, really good. Picked up two Conan hats. I'll discuss that with you. You'll see them both on the air at some point in time. Really fun time. Been listening to some of the Nomad stuff, just kind of tweaking where I want to tweak, where I want to do some of the vocal stuff, and where I can probably peek myself in on the guitar work. Okay. But other than that, man, just a lot of Conan, dude, and High on Fire. I'm looking forward to the Higher on Fire show. That's my next big show.
Nice. So, yeah, I actually heard High on Fire's latest single, and the name escapes me, but it's really good. So,
oh, it's freaking brutal, dude.
So everyone check out High on Fire. They were really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that was awesome, man. Oh, and plus I got to check out the Thinky Flesh album, and we're going to have a good conversation about that here in a bit.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Me, I got to see one of the last Western Swing Troubadours. Straight out of South Texas, Wayne the Train Hancock. Got to meet that guy. He is an absolute legend, underground legend. Played with Hank the Third, or wrote some songs with and for Hank the Third. He's just an absolute icon. He got up on stage, and I heard the barmaids say that he was already cut off before he even got on stage. He was, to say the least, very inebriated. And so what's the crowd do? They start buying him tequila shots. And he obliged. Now, let me tell you.
That's very irresponsible.
This man and his band. There's two guys, a guitar player and a stand-up bass player, phenomenal musicians. And they didn't miss a beat. Nobody missed a beat. You know, this is the last day they were on tour. His voice was shot. He kept saying, sounded beautiful, sounded great. Didn't miss a beat. Just fly on the seat of your pants. Like, hey, no. He would literally stop the guitar player, quit playing. Let the bass player play. Okay, bass player, shut up. You, keep going. The whole night. Good two and a half hour show. Got to meet him. He was not feeling any pain, and he had to drive from Knoxville, Tennessee to Texas in that night. So
he was driving?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what the guitar player said. I shook his hand, said, hey, man, you know, great job and all that, and I was like, it must be a handful dealing with him, you know, on tour all the time. He's like, fuck, he's got to drive us home. But got his autograph and stuff, got my picture with him. Super cool dude. So I'm definitely going to see him again when he comes back around. And I encourage anyone who just wants a good old time, fantastic show. Can't say enough great things.
That's so, yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. So at the end of the Conan show, obviously they put on a wonderful show. They were one of my top five that I wanted to see live here as soon as possible. And I finally got to see him. Drove 3 hours to the West Side Bowl. Let me share this place with you real quick. Before I do that, I do want to take the time to mention a few record stores. Lost and Found Records. We absolutely love those guys. You get a chance, get yourself there, pick up some albums. I think Record Store Day is coming up this month.
Yes.
So get yourself there. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think you said Legend Records.
No, not Legend Records. They can kiss an ass.
Poor customer service there.
Yeah.
What was the other one that you were telling me there near Knoxville?
Basement Records. Your home for all things metal, man. Basement
Records.
Yep.
We want to keep those guys in mind. Used Kids Records here in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah.
Definitely want to check those guys out. We don't get paid by these guys. We just tell you, you know, these are great places that we can still pick up physical format of music and very nice records and albums collected in these places. Yep. Which brings me to my point. West Side Bowl. Imagine a big bowling alley, but they split the bowling alley in half and there's a bunch of lanes. On the other side is a whole stage and standing area for shows. And there's a barricade, and it's a very comfortable situation it would look like for any band looking to play this venue there. Now, inside the venue, you have a full-blown bar, nice menu as far as drinks and beverages go. Local brews on tap. Wonderful, wonderful. Behind the bar, a full pizza kitchen. Full pizza kitchen, full menu, absolutely wonderful. Pizza was great. A little different than what I was used to getting in most pizza shops. Didn't know what to expect, but let me tell you, dude, get the 16-inch pepperoni. Leave it be. It's just fine. Good pie. Drink prices were really good. Let me put it to you like this, dude. I think I got three or four drinks, a large pizza, an order of cheese sticks, and I closed my tab out at $56.
Nice.
That's a really good deal. And then if I wanted to bowl that night, I think bowling was only $5 per hour.
No kidding.
No shit, dude. But it's a no-frills bowling place. So yeah. There's no digital screens and all that good shit. You're actually keeping score by paper, which is pretty cool, you know. But yeah. at the end of the day, it's a really cool scene, really cool setup. The alcohol, the drinks, the local beverages, the whole experience was absolutely fucking wonderful. And inside here was a place that had a small little arcade. They had a dining area off the bar, and then they had a record store all in this one freaking place. Dude, you could go there 5 days a week and have something different to do every day.
Nice.
Nice. And it was awesome. And then I would find out that if I wanted to book a show there for like the Nomads, they have a venue downstairs with a stage, with a bar that is capacity 200.
Hell yeah. Make it
so
rain.
Very, very cool venue. Want to give a shout out to the folks there at the West Side Bowl. Great customer service. Absolutely wonderful, wonderful experience. Great show, great sound. Just a heads up, they do not play on the greenery front. If you catch my drift, they don't mess around with it. They don't want to lose their liquor license, so don't be disrespectful. You know, it's tough, it sucks for certain individuals, but at the end of the day, you know, they do have a really nice menu, and it's a very good experience to go check this place out. I do dig it.
Very cool. All right. Well, that message was brought to you by Cheech and Chong.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Hey, what kind of, besides that big kiss news, you got any other news on your side?
Dime and Vinny's dad passed away at 80 years old.
Jerry Abbott.
Abbott. Yep. Yeah, 80 years old, man. And I just shot, it just, it takes me by. Can I ask you something? And I'm going to be honest with you. Two of my nomads were at that show.
Okay.
Okay.
He's talking about the Al Rosa show, unfortunately, where Dimebag and a few other good folks were killed.
When and where did you first find out of what happened at the Al Rosa? Did you wake up the next morning? It was on the news or?
No. Well, it was on the Blitz. So where I was working, I was going to go to that show. And because it was like in the middle of the week, if I remember right. And I was like, well, I got to work next day. And I just didn't feel like it. I was like, I'll get them next time. So I didn't end up going. The next morning, I worked down the street from the Al Rosa. Right off of Sinclair. And it was all over the Blitz. Because I would listen to the Blitz in the mornings.
As we all did.
Yeah, and it was such, it was just absolutely numbing, just couldn't believe it. And then when the video came out, and just, it was just, it's just surreal. And then the fact, after the fact, where the owners of that club didn't even bother to change out the fucking carpet on the stage. I lost a lot of respect for Rick over that. But yeah.
No, I think it was changed out, dude. No, I don't know where you heard or confirmed that from, but I'm going to tell you, I played that stage afterwards.
I looked at that carpet. That wasn't no new carpet. Anyway,
I don't know.
So that hit me like a ton of bricks, and it was just.
Yeah.
What about you?
I had gotten the call from James, a good buddy of mine for 40 years now. He said, dude, we were just at the Damage Plan show, and this guy walked up on stage and killed Dimebag and just started firing in the crowd. And then I turned on the news, and I just remember hearing Dimebag was dead, and I cried. I cried so much, dude. I went out the very next day. I took everything out of my savings. I went out the very next day and went out and bought a fucking Dean Dime, camo Dime. I had, it was the only Dean guitar I ever owned. Wow. I would eventually sell it when I was a little bit hard up for some money, but I'll be honest with you. I don't understand how you can play them. It's not a comfortable guitar to me.
It doesn't look very comfortable.
It's not a comfortable guitar to me, dude.
Yeah.
But it's an unfortunate event, man. And as far as that carpet changing thing out, man, I can't say that, you know, I can tell you this. After playing there, and we did one show there, and it wasn't a very big show. It was a really fucking hokey put together Battle of the Bands thing early on in the Suspect Earth career.
Yeah.
And it was just, I don't think I ever wanted to play there again. To me, it just be like, I still wanted to see shows there. And I saw a few afterwards, not many, but I just always felt like it was hallowed ground. And even my buddy Tony Rossetti painted the rock out front, that big ass rock that was out front. My buddy Tony Rossetti painted that, man. And when they did all the fucking selling of the property and shit, that rock was taken by like the construction company or some shit like that. I don't know all the bloody details on it, but either way, that rock should belong to Tony. It should be at his house. And I know that they tried to work several things out to get that thing put somewhere or to him. I don't know what all the plans are from it, but what I've talked to him last about it, he's just like, I'm sure he'd still love to have it. But at the end of the day, it's just a matter of, getting it from here to there. And at this point in time, I don't even know if it still exists.
It has to exist,
dude. It'd be a travesty if it didn't, because he did a really good, you did a really nice job on that fucking stone, dude. So
well, all right,
and that's just a piece of Columbus-based history for you out there, folks.
There you go.
As horrible as it was.
Yeah, absolutely. So rest in peace, Mr. Abbott. Hope you're rejoined with your boys.
Yes, indeed, sir. Thank you for your guidance and what brought those guys to our ears, man. That's for sure.
Yep. A couple birthdays for you guys. The legendary Muddy Waters, blues legend, was born today on April 4th, 1913. Barry Oakley from the Allman Brothers Band, he was born today. And then a couple of really cool albums that I really like. The Highwaymen, that was Johnny Cash, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson, and Willie Nelson. Their last studio album, The Road Goes On Forever, was released today in 1995. And then Neil Young's Harvest album was recorded today in 1971.
Huh.
One of these days I am going to give you that Highwaymen album, because to me that is their best, that is their best album top to bottom.
Nice. Nice. Sorry, man. I'm just trying to make sure if I'm giving you an album tonight, and I wasn't even ready for this, to be honest with you. I want to make sure.
You know, we do this every week.
We do, dude. And you're just as guilty. Shut up.
I plan this stuff months ahead.
Bullshit. You plan bullshit.
I plan bullshit, too. So, yeah, that's my portion of the news and music history for this week, guys. So, Tony, are you almost ready? I would really like you to go first.
Do you want me to go first on this album review?
I do.
All right. So can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
I was super under the gun with everything going on this week.
Mm-hmm.
It is my impression, and hold me to a standard here, that this is a project for, I believe you said Slim Jelly.
Yep. Slim Jelly.
The bass player for Green Jelly.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm very familiar with Green Jelly, especially from their breakout hit album back in the day, with Serial Killer.
Yep.
And I know that Green Jelly still continues to be active on the scene in some way, fashion, or form. They come through Columbus often. As we're speaking of Tony Rossetti, my buddy, he's good friends with Bill Manspeaker.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes, he is. Yes, they actually lived together at one point in time.
I'll be damned.
Swear my hand to God, dude.
I didn't know that.
So, And I actually met somebody affiliated with the Green Jelly crew the other night out at the KMFDM show. I want to say his name was Eric James or something like that.
Okay.
Nice guy. He was actually speaking with Bill while we were at the KMFDM show through text. But she's from within that band. Mm-hmm. And I will say, I've never heard of Thinky Flesh. I can't tell you when the album came out. Do you have that information?
Yes. According to Spotify, it came out August 24th of last year, 2023.
So this album was a last year release.
Yep.
Let me preface this by saying one thing.
And one thing only.
And this, and it's because this album was released last year that you've actually given me the opening to preface this album. I went out and caught this thing on YouTube, and it was very somewhat tricky to find for me. Okay. I don't know if I was spelling something wrong or whatnot, but when I found it, I found it. I looked through all these tracks, man, and there is not a very high number of activity on these. So let me say this for every listener out there. if I haven't given you an album and told you directly, take this thing and go home and listen to it, check it out. I guarantee you're going to find something you dig on this album. You might find multiple things you dig on this album. So with that, I'm going to get into my review of Thinky Flesh, My New Me. I'm going to say with that, track number one, I Don't Want To. What do I have here written down, Bruce? This is an A+. This is a great opener. And do you know where I hear this song?
Where?
CD 101.
Yes.
Tell me I'm wrong.
No, you're not wrong.
Tell me I'm wrong, dude. Tell me I'm a liar. No. You can't do that, right?
Not on this.
Nope. Track number two, Sadistic Rut. I gave this an A. It is a great tune, and it is exactly what it is, a sadistic rut. That's what this song sounds like. And let me tell you something about that track. That is the track that has been stuck in my head since I've listened to the album.
Fucking great riff, am I right?
What a really killer fucking riff. What a great tune, dude. My New Me, once again, this is an A+. It's a standout track. To me, I'm getting Talking Heads vibes off this motherfucker, dude.
Especially like, at the beginning, yep.
Dude, I'm getting Talking Heads vibes right off this motherfucker. And it's like, okay, you got me. You got me. And then the riff. Obviously, the riff. So, so good there, right? So then we get into track number four, Ice Cold Jelly. I gave this one an A+. And I wrote down Southern Rock and the piano or organ that was in this. I really dug it. And usually organ, or if that is an organ.
That synthesizer? Organ, yeah.
Yeah, it's just not a sound that I'm a big, big fan of. But I liked it here. I was just like, okay, all right, play with all that sound. I dig it. I dig it. And if you catch what's going on here, okay, I want you to take notice of these different bands and different sounds that I'm saying, because I'm going to get to that point here in a minute. DFTM. A+, great drone riff it's here, and a killer message. I'm not going to tell you what DFTM stands for. Listen to the fucking song. It's
and
worth
she
it.
She means it.
And she fucking means fucking it, dude. Means it. And let me tell you something. I know individuals out there in this world that this song, as soon as I heard this song, I went, this is you. And sent it right off, like, here, you got to hear this. So yeah, fucking awesome. Track number six, Fool. This is the only track I dang on the album. I gave any ding to it. And this is the reason why I dang it. It's not a big ding. I still gave it a B+, right? Mm-hmm. Good track, you know, but for me, it was somewhat chaotic. And it almost seemed somewhat disconnected from what I was feeling from the rest of the album. But okay. If you take into what all's going on the album, you understand there's a place for it there, right? Yeah. Because there's so much different stuff going on the album. So, but it was just not one of those tracks for me, okay? Mm-hmm. Not a horrible track by any means. And I can't even say that I'd skip it at this point. I mean, I'm already A's across the board, right?
Right.
And we're all the way down to track six out of nine tracks. So then we get into track number seven. Bitter Pill. Once again, I give this an A, man. God bless, man. Dreamy, melodic. And I hope that you've listened to this recently enough to remember, especially with the song, there was a real, real Cranberry vibe here.
Yeah, I can
see that. You
know
what I'm saying? I was really feeling like some Cranberries vibe here, man. I was just like, dude, this shit belongs on CD 101. You know, somewhere. Some of the shit mid-90s,
mm-hmm. A little bit, yeah.
Almost, you know, early 2000s.
Yep.
Would be wonderful. But at the end of the day, good music is everlasting, right?
Yep.
It doesn't matter. A good song will stay in the test of time. This is a fucking great album so far, man. So we get into track number eight, The Terms. You and I kind of talked about this a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I gave this an A. I said, this is fun. very fun song. It's very ear pleasing. If you listen to some of the panning effects and stuff that are going on in this song, this is just like an eargasm, man. It's really, really, really cool for me. And the other thing I wanted to mention here, and I know you'll get this, and maybe the band won't. And you know, it just in general, Damon Zex got a real Damon Zex vibe off this thing, dude. Could you see a Damon Zex episode with his face coming off and on the screen and "these are the terms"? Da 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 da, dude. Tell me that wouldn't be fucking sweet,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
So I gave it that. That's an A. And then Mr. 3 AM, I gave this an A plus. I said, what a twist and an absolute killer closer.
Yes.
This album, I only have one thing to say about this album, man. I don't understand why great musicians or great albums, why is this not getting the wheels behind it? This came out last year.
I think a part of it is this is her first full album release.
Let me make this really clear, dude. This is a great album. This is one of the better albums you've given me. And you know, I don't give anything above a 9 without really, really liking something. And the one thing I love about this album is the difference. Let me finish this.
Yep.
Let me say what I got to say here. I'm gonna give you these words. Soundscape. I love the nuanced sounds. Crazy mixture of genres from Southern rock at times to Talking Heads, psychedelic, doom, punk, art. Some stuff could make a good soundtrack.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you do with something that covers that much? Here's the thing. It's because it covers that much, it's going to get a ding. That's crazy to say, right?
That is because, really crazy.
Because it does. But I'm going to tell you why. I don't think this is for the average listener. Do I think the average listener could find something here? Yes. But do I think the average listener can really understand and take in everything that's going on here? This is amazing. This is amazing. I feel like I found something that only I know about. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to share this. I'm going to share this with people and say, man, you want to hear something wild? You want to hear something really fun, something really fucking cool? This is a phenomenal fucking album. And dude, and I'm going to buy it. I'll be buying this album. If they can see this, or I buy most of my stuff digitally because I can't always buy a bunch of albums, but I'll be buying this album digitally through the Bandcamp. So, I'm on fire about this, man. This is an absolute wonderful album, Bruce. Thank you for giving me such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful album. Saw the poll. Really, really, really wonderful album here, dude. Two dings, a quarter point for a B plus on Fool, and a quarter point because I don't think everybody's going to get this.
Fuck
them. And I agree. And dude, I agree. I agree. Fuck them. More for me, because I'll be jamming this shit. Mm-hmm. So honestly, man, I'm really having a hard time here, and I'm bouncing between 9.5 and 9.75, dude. I really enjoyed this album. Mm-hmm. I really, really enjoyed this album, and it's found a place in my library.
Yeah.
You know, so fuck it, dude. I'll give it 9.75, man.
There you go.
Yeah.
Attaboy.
If all I can ding it for is the one issue where I feel like the Fool feels a little disconnected, and as far as anybody else, like, fuck them. You're right. Fuck them.
Yeah. Fuck
this is a good album, man. I think a lot of people should check this thing out. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe, you know, you don't have this kind of taste in music, but I love hearing different shit like this, man. And just for the record, I always, always, as of now, start looking at some of these bands and seeing if I can find any live footage.
Yeah.
After I've listened to them. And let me tell you, there's a lot going on there, and it looks like a good time, dude. And
yeah,
I want to see it, man. Dude, please, if you can get video, you can get pictures, please. I'd love to see them.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to go see them next week. So obviously, like we said earlier, Slim and a couple other people that, that play in Thinky Flesh also play for Green Jello. So they're going to be doing double duty that night next week, and I am super fucking pumped about it. To your point, this album's an absolute banger album. Slim actually sent me the link to this album and wanted me to check it out, and I absolutely fell in love with it first listen. I told her that first night, I'm like, this is fucking amazing. I absolutely love it.
Dude, I wouldn't disagree with you at all.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't disagree with you at all. I would tell, if you're in contact with this individual, please tell them I'm ready for the next one. Let's hear it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So just a couple notes that I had on it. The first track, I Don't Want To, I called that the adulting song. Like, goddamn, that's like living fucking life. I don't wanna.
Yeah. I dig it, man.
Yeah. She's the singer, bass player. She plays saxophone. She does a lot of different instruments on this. Her sister Bailey, did some drum work on this, and she is also in a really cool band. That, I'll send you the link to, Thelma and the Sleaze.
Nice.
So yeah, check that out. Jello Lugosi. He is one of the guitar players that's on this album that also plays for Green Jelly. And then Vincent Criss play guitar and drums as well. So, I give this thing an absolute 10. I have listened to this album every day since she gave it to me.
Nice.
I absolutely love it.
I'm not sugarcoating anything here. Mm-hmm. Let me make this perfectly clear. I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed that album.
Yes.
And I enjoyed it because there was so much brought to the table so well. I would, if I had to say, like, check us out. When I think about this style of where there's this art, there's this great lyricism, there's this really cool underground thing going on where these bands are really, really good at what they do, I would put these guys like right there with, Mr. Bungle, Dog Fashion Disco, Green Jelly, obviously, just these bands that, like, if I had Dog Fashion Disco, Green Jelly, and these dudes in one set, dude, that's a $30 ticket easy. I'd pay $30 to see that. Mm-hmm. I'd pay $30 to see that all fucking day long, and I drive to see it.
Yep. I don't know if you remember. Do you remember me sending you their Green Jello's latest song, Murder Train?
Yeah, great track.
Yes, Slim actually created and directed that video for Murder Train.
That's so awesome.
She is just so talented. And this album is a piece of art.
That's
and
awesome.
She's a true artist. Rest of the players on this album are too. I mean, just a great album.
If you love music,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how you couldn't love this album.
Yeah, there's something for everybody in this fucking album.
Yeah, I mean and I'm not saying that lightly, man.
No.
I'm saying that but full-heartedly. Like, I'm sitting here and I turn that damn thing on and I'm just like, I'm putting it through the critiques and I'm like, I fucking love it, man.
Her vocals are just great.
They're great. They're wonderful as well, dude. She definitely falls for me in my ear. She definitely falls in that maybe Cranberries, maybe Shirley Manson.
Range. For me, it's more of a Linda Perry from Four Non Blondes.
That makes sense too.
Esque. Yeah. but she's her own person.
She's definitely got her own voice. But yeah. Here's the thing. I'm not so familiar with her voice DNA yet, because we talk about an artist DNA.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not so familiar with her voice DNA that I could pick it out of everything. But mm-hmm. I will tell you this. Put out another album. I'm pretty damn sure I'll get you figured out by then. You know what I'm saying? That's
please.
Dude, please. Yeah, I look forward to hearing what's next. So they did that last year. What time last year was that released?
I think it was released in August.
Do you know how long it took them to make the album?
I don't. If I end up getting to meet her, I'll ask.
Please do so. I'd love to know how long it took them to make the album, because there's a lot of layering and stuff going on in there. Mm-hmm. And it's absolutely it's wonderful, man. It's absolutely wonderful. All right. Yeah. Now.
All right.
I've given my review.
Yes.
9.75.
Yeah. All right. You gave me German jazz aficionados, Boren and Der Club of Gore. Now, let me tell you, when you said, okay, here's the title of this band, I'm like, what the fuck am I getting into? The name of the band does not match with the style of music that is played here.
Okay.
So let me just preface. At first, I had a hard time getting through this album. I've been dealing with a little bit of insomnia, but I started listening to this album and it put me right to sleep. So I got through like two songs and put me right to sleep. Now, normally people would say that's an insult. Not with this. This is some beautiful, sultry, just amazing jazz. And as I was going through the album, I was like, okay, well, maybe it's just like one song, or maybe it's just two songs. That's just jazz thing. And then, you know, once I was able to, you know, stay up and listen to it, it was like, no, this is the consistent theme through the whole thing. So I'd listened to it a few times. And I'm like, okay, well, is this just a one-off? Do they do something else? Because again, Boren and Der Club of Gore does not sound like a jazz band. So I'm like, okay. So I check out some of their other stuff. And I'm like, no, this is them. This is what they do. They do jazz. Fucking brilliant. Now, let me say this. One of my favorite jazz players of all time is Coltrane. I love John Coltrane. This isn't as like erratic and just skibbity boop bop bop bop, you know, kind of jazz. This is that slow, melodic, smooth jazz. This is beautiful stuff. The first song on here, Total Falsch, it's a beautiful opener. And that theme just continues throughout. There's a lot of, see, hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 11 songs on this thing, a little over an hour long. Most of these songs these titles are in German. There's no actual words sang or spoken throughout the entire album. This whole album reminded me of a classical piece where there are different movements, and it's all part of one body of work. But there's different movements. So each song is a movement. For me, it was hard to differentiate between each song. Like there wasn't a different vibe between track 3 and track 4 and track 6. Like it all had the same vibe. It was all very consistent. It was all very beautiful. Except for the last song. And that was Mein Weltest Schon. I know I said that properly because I took a semester of German in eighth grade. It's very creepy. And it felt like it should have been in an old-time horror movie. Like an old Dracula movie. That's where that song really should have fit in. But just a beautiful, beautiful album. This is not an album that I would recommend like you're driving with, but this is a great album to listen to if you're just hanging around the house on a rainy day or if you're trying to get some sleep. And again, that is not an insult. This is just a beautiful album, soothing. Go
Late
ahead.
night jazz.
Yeah.
It's late,
Yeah.
dude. It gives me that, and there is a doom element there. There is a doom element there. But let me tell you, folks, it's like a late night jazz session. Like you can find yourself at home with a cigar, glass of bourbon,
Yeah.
and just, oh
Or if
man,
it's in the background.
yeah.
Let's just say you're there with a couple of friends and you're just having some wine and whatever. This is great background music. It's not, I mean, again, there's no like crazy nothing. I mean, it's just a beautifully consistent, slow, beautiful
Late night
album.
jazz feel. Late night
Yep.
jazz feel.
The whole
That's
thing.
all I can say, man.
Yep.
Like, dude, once that fucking saxophone comes in, get the fuck out of here, dude.
Yep. Yep.
I remember when I first heard that fucking album, and I was just going, okay, what's going on here? Okay, I knew I was getting into something they called doom jazz, and all of a sudden that saxophone came in, dude, and I lost it. I just said, you got me. Holy shit, that's fucking dope.
Yeah, and it completely blew my mind that I wasn't expecting it. I just wasn't expecting it. So yeah, great album. I gotta give it a 10. I would listen to more of this all the time in those situations. I can't
Yeah.
now I will say this. When I actually first got done listening to the whole thing, again, because I kept falling asleep, I gave it a 7 in my head. And this is why. Because I didn't know when I could listen to this. When's a great time to listen to this for me? So I was like, I don't know where this fits. For me, I don't know where this fits. But as I listen to it more, it's like, this is where it needs to be. It needs to be late night. It needs to be while you're just relaxing, raining, whatever. That's where it belongs. It's a great album.
Dude,
They're great musicians.
and listen, go see live footage of these dudes. I'm stunned at three guys making all this beautifulness, man.
Really? Three guys?
Three dudes, dude.
Wow.
Three
Wow.
fucking dudes.
Yeah, so this thing, real quick before I forget, this thing was released January 24th of 2020, right before that pandemic hit. This needs all the love in the world. It's a beautiful album. Beautiful album. I encourage any jazz lovers to absolutely pick this album up.
Yeah.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Good. Good. I actually went to Amazon and picked up that album and picked up the another album from them called Black Earth.
Yep, I listen to that.
Man, it's so good too, dude. Like these dudes don't fucking miss, man.
No.
And then
Again, you got to be in the mood for jazz. That's your.
I implore you, if you get the chance, and I don't think it's available digitally. I don't think it's available physically because what's out there is out there. And if you could find it, it's like super expensive. Go to YouTube. It's a listen, man. And you know, I'm nuts, and I've listened to some long shit in my time. This one's a listen, but it's almost 2.5 hours fucking long, dude.
Is it one song?
No, but it's labeled as 1, 2, 3, 4, something like that. But
Okay. Yeah. Again, like a classical piece.
it's called Midnight Radio Sessions.
Okay.
And dude, I went through 1.5 hours of that and was just like, man, it's so good, but it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I gotta go to bed. You know
Yeah.
what I'm saying? And I'm just sitting there just chilling, playing on my phone, just listening to it like, man, this shit's so fucking groovy. But yeah, nothing offensive there, man. The love those dudes.
Yeah.
I figured, you know, you've turned me on to some jazz things here and there, and I just happened to stumble across them, and I said, I'm absolutely on fire. I was as on fire about giving you them as you are or were going to be about the one you talked about giving me tonight. You know, I was sitting on the edge of my seat. I don't know if you want to give me the one that you want to give me tonight, knowing that I've already been through about half the album.
Yep, absolutely. I think this needs some attention quickly.
I think man. Okay. Well, with that
Right.
being said, what do you give Born in the Club of Gore?
I give it a 10, my friend.
Solid 10, a
Solid
9.75 for
10.
me and a 10. God, man, we've been swinging for the fences, you and me lately, dude.
Hey, listen, we got good taste.
We've had some really good stuff. We've been bouncing off of each other, and some of it's been newer to us. You know, thanks again for the Thinky Flesh album. That was absolutely wonderful. I am looking forward to picking that up, putting it onto my phone so I can listen to it consistently.
There you
And
go.
then, man, what a great set of reviews. Thank you guys once again for all watching. We want to thank every one of you. Please hit that like, comment, subscribe. If you like, catch us on your favorite podcast streaming service. We're out there for all of those. Please leave a comment. We want to hear from you guys, man. We want to hear what you're thinking. And if you enjoy the show, subscribe. You know, we got new stuff coming up all the time. We're working on bringing you guys newer guests, other people that have shown some interest in being on the show. If you are a, you know, national act or someone in the music industry and you have an interest in wanting us to review something for you or
You want to talk to us?
talk to us, feel free to reach out. We're glad to be here for you. We'll be a platform for you, man. You know, we want to support you guys as much as you want to support us listening to our reviews on what we think is cool music out there. So with that being
Sorry.
said, Bruce, you
Yeah.
ready to start going on what's going on next week?
Yes, sir. So I am giving you this album just released on Easter. This gentleman felt he said he felt compelled to release it on Easter. And I'm giving you Oliver Anthony's Hymnal of a Troubled Man's Mind.
I'm not going to pull no punches here. I've already told you I've listened to half of it.
That's okay. There's plenty to go.
There is plenty to go. It's a good album.
Yeah.
It's been a good album so far, and I look forward to listening to the rest of it. I'm looking forward to this release, and I knew eventually I would be listening to it because he had that big breakout freaking internet hit with Richmond, North of Richmond. And you want to know the truth, dude? He's stuck to the formula so far for me, and he's not missing.
Don't blow it all.
I'm not blowing the whole wad yet, man. You know,
I
hey, unlike you, I'm going to review every song just because you can't
I
pronounce
did review. Yeah.
it.
I reviewed them. I just couldn't tell you.
No, they're great, dude. I'm glad you listened to them. And you did get to check out Black Earth too, huh? All right. So I got Oliver Anthony's Hymnal of a Troubled Man's Mind. All right. I wasn't going to do this, man. And I'm sorry ahead of time. I didn't want to lay another Doom album on you.
But yet,
But
here you are.
after seeing Conan last night, dude, and knowing that I gave their, you know, their one of their last album was one of my top three or five for the year. I would venture to say they made the top three, dude. Remember, it's still Doom, but it's Caveman Battle Doom.
All these fucking subgenres of fucking doom.
Love you, brother. Anyways, I'm giving you, I believe it was released last year, Evidence of Immortality. These riffs on this thing are thicker than a fucking platform heel, dude. I am not kidding. I am,
All
dude.
right.
You know what these two dudes tuned down to? F.
Is
F.
that low?
Very.
Okay.
Very. Dude, we tuned down to C. Monster Magnet tunes down to D. D's a step down from E.
Sure.
You C. Mm-hmm. Dude, it's nuts, dude. These guys are like, their tone is thick, dude.
Sweet.
Thick. And I got my picture taken with them last night. Got the set list signed by two of the members as well, which is really cool. Want to thank those guys again. Talk to John Davis, the singer and guitar player. Said if we could, we could reach out to him through Instagram. I have an Instagram. Sure. I don't know if Hooked on Sonics in general has an Instagram.
We do not.
There's so much social media to keep up with, man.
Trust me, I know.
It fucking sucks.
We've got Facebook and we've got X, and that's plenty right now.
Well, not just that, dude. If you think about all the other platforms that we're on.
Well, but I'm saying as like far as like actively, like daily doing something.
It's crazy, dude. It's so, you know, and
if we ever do TikTok, you're doing that.
I'd be on duty. And I'm going to tell you, they changed things about it and I couldn't do it anymore. I can't even do my cooking videos anymore.
Sons of
fucking motherfuckers. Anyways, we'll get it all figured out, man. Anyways, once again, we want to thank you guys for tuning in.
Yep.
Bruce, do you got anything else to say?
I do.
Go for it.
She is watching. She is waiting. She is hustling, anticipating. These words brought to you by Slim Jelly.
Yeah. I remember them. I remember them. I like this portion of the episode that you brought on. It's good stuff. Mine didn't have any words. Sorry.
No.
All right, guys, we will see you guys next week. One thing we want to keep in mind, season finale is coming up very soon. We're looking at maybe probably sometime in June. Going to have some special guests on. We're going to be going over our top five, count them, five albums. Debut albums that we absolutely love. And I think we're going to have a total of six of us on the show that day.
Six.
We'll have six. All right. Well, we will see you all guys next time. Bruce, you got anything else to say?
No, that's plenty.
I'm Bruce. That's Tone. We'll see you guys next time. We're out.
See ya.